Open your Bibles, please, to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. We've been teaching a series. Well, the theme for our year has been Believe for More. How many of you are seeing more from the Lord than you have before? How many? Come on, wave. I know that there's a lot of you receiving more. Amen. All right? Believe for more. And in believing for more, we've been talking about our confidence in the Lord, our trust, our faith in the Lord. Out of Hebrews 10:35, the Bible says, cast not away your confidence. Somebody say confidence. Confidence is assurance, it's faith, it's fidelity to faith. It's trusting in the Lord. Cast not away your confidence, because it has great reward, but you have need of patience. Somebody say, oh boy. You have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, somebody say, will of God. Say, I'm doing the will of God. I shall receive the promise. And we're not talking about the will of God in relationship to what our future is to be. But we're talking about the will of God in which our daily life is to be. What He expects of us in the Scripture. And we've talked about the will of God as far as praise and prayer and worship and serving and being in the house of the Lord and trusting God without fear. And today I want to take us to a next step, which is the will of God, which is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Filled continually with the Holy Spirit. So go to Ephesians 5:18, and let's take a look at the Scripture this morning. Ephesians 5:18. Now, Heavenly Father, in the next moments we have together, in this time of teaching the Word of God, this Word that You have so profoundly put into my spirit man, to share to the congregation, to this body, these great wonderful believers today. The Lord, I ask You to help us to clear our thoughts, to clear our minds, to hear and to receive, and open up our hearts so that You can pour into us what You want to do in us today. I thank You, mighty God. Father, Your anointing is here very strong. Everybody just lift a hand to the Lord and acknowledge Him. Hallelujah. Lord, Your presence and Your anointing is here so strong. And I thank You for what You're going to accomplish in us. Thank You for the anointing upon the Word, upon Your servant, Father, to teach Your truth in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Let it be so. Ephesians 5:18. Paul is writing to the church of Ephesus, and he is challenging them with multitudes of things. And right in the middle of his challenge, he says to them, do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Now I want to focus on the phrase, be filled with the Spirit of God. Everybody say, be filled with the Spirit. Now when the Bible talks about, uses the word be in the translation, our English word be, the word means take on the nature and character of another. So when he's saying be filled with the Spirit of God, he's saying take on the nature and the character of the Spirit of God. All right? When he says in this verse, when Paul writes and he says, do not be drunk with wine, what he's saying is do not take on the nature of the world, but take on the nature of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, all right? He's saying, don't be driven, all right, away from the Spirit of God by the things of the world, but be drawn to the Spirit of the Lord by being filled with the Spirit of God. Because the more you're filled with the Spirit of the Lord, you will be drawn deeper and deeper into the precious anointing and presence and glory of the Lord, and demonstrations of His power in your life. So the challenge this morning is to be filled with the Spirit. All right? To take on the nature and character of the Spirit. Now let me address a little bit. I know I'm not going to be able to finish this message today. I've already planned at least a three-parter or a four-parter on this portion of the will of God. But I want you to catch some things in your spirit that the Lord's going to give us in divine revelation. But let's talk about, first of all, what filled is. Filled doesn't mean the glass is still, the level of what's in the glass is still below the top. That's not full yet. Hello? And I've pulled this sometimes in restaurants on the waitress. And they said, would you like more water or whatever? And I say, yeah, fill it up. And they don't fill it all the way to the top. And I test them a little bit. Keep going. I want it full. Because if it's not to the top, it's not full yet. Hello, somebody. If I just got a taste of the Holy Spirit this morning, but I'm not filled to overflow, I'm not full yet. Are you hearing this? If I feel like it, though, I feel like I am fuller than I was before I got here, but are you overflowing yet? Because to be filled is to be filled to the top to overflow. Now, let's look at how the Greek defines this, all right? So the word plateuo in the Greek, and it means this. It means to make replete, which means to be well filled. Write it down. Because filled also means to be plentifully supplied. Amen. Hallelujah. If you ever go out to eat with Lewis Enoch, when he fills his plate, I'm telling you, it's going to cover the entire thing, or it is not full yet. Come on. Plentifully. Come on. He'll show it. Just go look at his Facebook page. You'll see it. Plentifully supplied. Another translation means to be stuffed with food. Thanksgiving is coming. My wife and I went out the other night to Umi Restaurant with Josh and his whole family. And I went in there feeling pretty good. I came out of there feeling like that. Full. Somebody say full. Now, you're getting the point. All right. Filled with the Spirit. There's another definition that says to cram in the Greek. To cram or to level it up. Another word to furnish or to imbue, which means to fill to the saturation point that I can't take any more. How many want the Spirit of God to fill you so full that you have that feeling all the time that, God, I'm so full, I feel like I can't take any more. But God says, oh yeah, I can get some more in there. Come on. The Spirit of the Lord says, I'll make room for more. I'll get there. Come on, somebody. It also means to satisfy. How many of you are hungry for God today? Don't stop seeking, even after you're satisfied. Because you might be satisfied with what God releases today in you, but when you hit the pillow tonight and get up in the morning, you're going to be hungry again for more of the things of the Spirit of God. Because when He fills you, He puts in you Himself, which is going to cause you to desire more of who He is and what He has. Amen. It also means to accomplish. The Greek there is to complete and to make full and to fully supply. Now here's what Paul said. He said, this is the will of God. Everybody say, this is the will of God. Be filled with the Spirit. Not partially, not half, not a little, not 90%, but filled with the Spirit. Now let's talk about the Spirit for a moment. The Spirit of God. In the Greek, it's the pneuma, which is the breath of God. The same breath that in Ezekiel 37 he breathed, as Ezekiel prophesied that God breathed into the bones the breath of life. And they stood up a great army. The breath of God. If we were to focus ourselves this morning tight into the Spirit of God, I think we could literally sense the breath of God breathing on us in this house. That's why you feel joyful, and that's why we feel like crying. That's why we feel emotional, because the breath of God has come and He is breathing something. He's breathing life into us. He's breathing healing into us. He's breathing restoration and empowerment into us. The pneuma of the Spirit of God. It's the breath of God, a blast, a breathe. It is the Hayah of God in the Scripture. The Hayah, the breath of God. It's where supernatural strength comes from. Come on, somebody. That's where power to overcome comes from. It's from the breath of God, the Spirit of God, the life of God. From the very Holy Spirit. So when he's talking about being filled with the Spirit, he's not just talking about any spirit that's in the world. And I'm going to identify some things in just a moment for us to help us understand. But he's talking about the Spirit of Almighty God. The Spirit of life that only comes from the Father, from heaven. It's the anointing, the presence, the anointing, the power and the glory of God. It's His Spirit. That's why Paul said in another chapter, he said, do not quench the Spirit of God. Don't stop the Spirit of God. When the Spirit of God is moving, don't stop Him, because He needs to fill you. He needs to fill you. He's not coming just to pour a little bit of Himself in. He needs to fill you up so you can face tomorrow. You can overcome in the battle. Come on, somebody. When the enemy, because see, when you come to the house of the Lord and the Spirit of God has filled you up, the enemy will challenge you and try to get you to leak. Hello, somebody. But he said, be filled. It's the will of God to be filled with the Spirit of God. That's why we need to be in the house of God. This is a filling station. I have several filling stations that I go to. I have a place in my house that I like to sneak away to and get filled. I have a place in the office where I can get before the Lord and get filled. It's a filling station. I have places around this building that you have probably never been. Or I can sneak away and be filled. Get away with God. Because it's important. It is the will of God. Somebody say, it's the will of God. Now, I want to talk to you. We'll get as far as we can this morning, but I want to talk to you about three spirit realms. Three spirit realms. You're going to want to write some things down because this is very important. All right? I'll define for you in just a moment. There are heavenly realms, there are earthly dimensions, and there's evil atmosphere. And we'll differentiate what those are as we go here. But the first realm that I want to talk to you about, the three spiritual realms, is the realm of the Spirit of God. In other words, it is the realm of the supernatural. It's a realm that Satan himself once knew, but was cast out of heaven when he rebelled against God. It's a realm, the supernatural realm, which is beyond the natural. It's beyond right now. It's greater than what currently exists in the natural because it's above and beyond. It is the supernatural, is the domain of God. And so wherever the Spirit of God is, the supernatural power of God operates, and that is God's domain. This house, this sanctuary, this campus is the domain of God because we have welcomed the supernatural power of God into this house and allowed God to be who He is. Come on, give Him praise. Give Him glory. So supernaturally, He resides in every classroom, every room, in the gym, in the offices, in the balcony, on this floor, in the prayer rooms. He supernaturally abides here. This is the domain of God, a supernatural place. Now, when you give your life to Jesus, you become His supernatural domain. Are you hearing this? Hallelujah. But now watch this. The realm of the supernatural. Now here's what happens in that supernatural realm. Because the Spirit of God in the realm of God is made up of these following things. Write these down. Number one, it is a salvation realm. In other words, it's the place of rescue. It's the place of saving from sin, all right? When you come into the presence of God, into His supernatural realm, you can't help but be dealt with in your spirit man by the Holy Spirit about things in your life that may need to be confessed. Come on, somebody. Or if you've never been born again, things that you need to, that you just know you've got to get out of. Are you hearing this? It's going to get really deep as we go along, very powerful in this little series. So it is a place, it is a realm of atonement through the blood sacrifice of the death of Jesus. Jesus came out of the heavenly realm, became a man, pure and holy, and died to satisfy the law of the old covenant and shed His blood so that the Spirit of God could come, amen, and fill, as the Bible says, the glory of the Lord is going to fill the whole earth. It's going to happen. But in this supernatural realm, the power of the blood of Jesus is strong and has great presence. Secondly, write this down. In this Spirit of God, the realm of the supernatural, redemption is part of that realm. In other words, redemption means to buy back. Somebody say, Jesus bought me back. Come on, lift your hand and say, Jesus bought me back. Hallelujah. He paid the price for my sin. He bought me. He bought you. Hallelujah. It also means to recover from defeat, destruction, and death. So in the supernatural realm, all right, where God operates, where He wants to move us as believers into regularly. There is salvation in that realm. There's redemption in that realm. But there's some more powerful things. There's healing in that realm. Somebody shout healing. Healing is to make well again. It's to cure disease. And I'm going to define that a little bit more as we go in this teaching. It is to be free from grief. How many of you know that's a healing? To be free from grief. It is to mend a wound. It's to bring back health. Somebody shout healing. In the supernatural realm of God, there is healing. Healing power. That's why God calls us to live in that supernatural realm by being filled with the Spirit of God. And as you walk in being filled with the Spirit of God, you live in that supernatural realm. That's why the Bible says we may be in this world, but we're not of this world. We're of the world of the Spirit of God, in which His authority rules. Come on, somebody. His glory is poured out. Where things aren't over till He says they're over. Come on, somebody. The supernatural. See, you're walking in that right now. In that supernatural realm. You are in the supernatural presence of God right now. Because He's in this house, and there are angels all over this house. Anybody getting this? So there's healing, but there's a couple more things in this realm. In this supernatural realm, there is restoration. So when you move into relationship with Jesus into the supernatural realm, He restores or He gives back something that was lost. Or He restore also means to repair and to rebuild and to put back in position or rank of authority. So even if the devil has tried to trip you up and you stumbled, you call out on the name of the Lord. The Bible says you have an advocate with the Father, Christ Jesus, the righteous one, and He'll lift you back, right back up, and position you, come on somebody, right where you're supposed to be in His divine order of supernatural authority. Don't ever let the devil tell you that just because you fell, you will never make it again. The devil is a liar. I'll tell you, when God restores, He puts you at a higher place than you were before. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Higher place, Brett. Glory to Jesus. How many are with me? You preaching with me? All right, stay with me. Now, it also means to bring back to health and strength. Restore. You ever felt weak? Have you ever felt, you know, you're fighting the fight of faith, but you feel weak? Did you know that's when you're at your strongest point? Because in your weakness, God will make His strength strong. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. He'll make Himself strong. See, and when we lean on Him, we've got to lean on Him. Hello, somebody. Pastor Kevin, come here, stand right here. I need you to preach with me right here. Pastor Kevin's going to represent the Spirit of God. Look at that physique. Look at that strength. This guy's hands, I have trouble shaking hands with him because he about squishes mine. And I don't have enough fingers to start with. But when the enemy, see, here's the point. When we feel weak, that's where we need to lean on the strong one.
Jesus, help me.
And if need be, he'll carry you.
That was good.
But you got to lean. Because when you lean, his strength becomes your strength. And when you felt weak in the natural, suddenly there's an infusing, an impartation of the supernatural power of God. And he lifts you up and says, come on, you're a winner. Hallelujah. Amen. There's restoration. But you know what else is in that supernatural realm? Empowerment. Somebody say empowerment.
Empowerment.
You know what? There's sometimes I don't feel like I have any power, but I do. There's sometimes my physical body will get weary and I don't feel like I've got any power to pray for anybody. Or I've got power to release to anybody and minister to them. Come on, how many of you go through that? Just because your body doesn't feel like you've got power doesn't mean you do not. Because the supernatural power of God is not reliant upon the natural or the physical. The supernatural power of God is greater than the natural, so he will supersede that. And whether you feel like it or not, the Bible says you are filled with power from on high. Come on, somebody. And we simply activate it by faith. Lord, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to believe you. Amen. Come on. So here's empowerment. Empowerment is simply to give power or authority. So in the supernatural realm, God imparts through his Spirit. He imparts through his Spirit power and authority. We'll talk about it more later, but Acts 1:8, Jesus said, go and tarry in Jerusalem till you be endued with power. 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 Elbow your neighbor and say power. But then authority. See, empowerment means to authorize. All right? And to give in ability and enable. To authorize and enable. Somebody say authorize and enable. I've got some good news for you today, that the Spirit of God in you has authorized you and enabled you to conquer the powers of the enemy, and they will not overcome you or overtake you in the name of Jesus. Come on, give God a shout of glory. He's authorized you to stand in the face of trouble and say, wait a minute, trouble. Come on, somebody. Hold on right there, trouble. You can't cross the line. The bloodline has been drawn, and you can't come over into my territory. I have been authorized to tell you, and I've been enabled to stop you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, this realm, this supernatural realm, invades and overcomes the natural realm and the demonic realm. It invades and supersedes and overcomes, all right, the natural realm, the flesh realm, and the demonic realm. In other words, earthly dimensions and evil atmosphere. This supernatural power of God, this supernatural realm, is always greater and mightier and more powerful than any other realm. Now, I don't have time to talk to you about what the other two realms are this morning, but they're very important to understand. Because you see, there are earthly dimensions. Let me just give it to you this way. There are heavenly realms, which is kingdom of God. The heavenly realms have to do with a realm, has to do with a region, a territory, a dominion of rule, or a jurisdiction place of rule. That's heavenly realms. So when you're walking and living supernaturally, okay, in heavenly realm, it is the kingdom of God's realm where He reigns and where He places us to reign over regions. That's why God has prophesied so many times about this body that this house is a regional power center. Because we've allowed Him to come in supernatural authority, so He has authorized you and I to tear down strongholds in this region, because God has jurisdiction wherever we place the sole of our foot, wherever we tread. He said, I've given you jurisdiction. You rule there. You reign there by the power of the Holy Spirit, because the supernatural is always greater than the natural. Amen. Now, then there are earthly dimensions. Just write a little note. We're going to come back to this more in depth. But there are earthly dimensions. All right? There are heavenly realms. There are earthly dimensions. Dimensions are a measured area or a restriction. So in other words, the earthly realm is restricted. Oh, I'm going to preach on this. It's restricted. That's why God gives us power over the... Oh, come on, somebody. Over earthly dimensions, because in the natural there's restriction, but in the supernatural there's freedom. Let me give you the next one. Then, the third one we're going to get into and talk about is evil atmosphere. Evil atmosphere is this. It's a sphere of influence surrounding a given place or environment. Now, watch this. I can tell you, I can guarantee that in this house, in this environment, the one who controls the atmosphere here is the God of heaven. Come on, somebody. The God of heaven. And when you are filled with the Spirit of God and you walk in the supernatural power of God, then the God in you controls the atmosphere, come on, somebody, of where you go. That's why when you walk into some place, people around you can sense the power of God. And they may not even know what it is. But for some reason, they just kind of like you. We've had that happen to us when we're out in restaurants. And the waiter or the server will just keep coming back again and again more often than they actually are to other tables. Because they're drawn, come on somebody, to the presence of God. And my wife and I have had more opportunity to pray and minister to people in those kind of situations because they were drawn by the Spirit of the Lord. Same thing happens to you. I want you to put your Bibles down. I want you to close your eyes with me. I want you to focus on the Spirit of God.